Now, this morning's message is going to be a little bit different. I'm just going to tell you up front, all right? There's not a lot of jokes in this one. It's very straightforward, all right? I really, this has been on my heart, and it's a standalone message between two sermon series. And I'm going to be honest with you as well. I sort of struggled with it because I want to make sure it lands the right way. We're just going to simply call it travailing in prayer. Now, that's a word we don't use in regular life either. Travailing in prayer. And let me start with this. I just want to read you a scripture. It's not on the screen. Psalm chapter 5, the first couple of verses. This is David, and he is King David, and he says this, "O Lord, hear me as I pray." It's interesting that he said, "Hear me as I pray." He was really saying, "This is so important, Lord, I need you to pay attention," which is kind of funny. But he said, "Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for I pray to no one but you." This is the King saying, "God, I really want you to listen. I'm hurting so deeply that it's coming out as groans. I'm just groaning. It hurts me. The thing I'm struggling with, the thing that my family is struggling with, the thing that is on my mind and my heart all the time, Lord, I don't even know how to put this in words, but Lord, I want you to hear me as I'm praying through groans, and I want you to hear me as I just travail in prayer." He was really saying, "This is the deepest part of me, God. I have nowhere else to turn. And I just need you to show up, God. I need you to just change things. I just need you, Lord, to work in a way that I can't do. I can't do anything about this, and that's why I'm here. I'm at that point where I'm out of words. And I want you and I need you to show up. I need you to work in my life." I don't know if you've been at that point in your life. You may be at that point right now, but here's what I promise you. If you haven't been there and you're not there right now, it's coming. I hate, that's bad news, all right? But it's coming. There will come that moment that you're just like, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to pray for this. I don't know what to do about these circumstances. And it feels like the only thing left to do is just cry out to God. Is just, I call them ugly face prayers. The prayers you don't want to pray in front of anybody else. Where you just want to say something to God to move his heart. The Bible is full of this. God heard the groanings of the Hebrews in Exodus chapter 2. Look at this. "During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. And their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them." They were calling out. They were caught in slavery and they're calling out to God. They're groaning out to God and it got God's attention. He saw their groanings. He knew and he remembered the promises he had made to them. Here's the beautiful part of this. God has made promises to you and me. His word is full of promises that he answers our prayers and he works in our lives. But there's that moment where we just got to call out to him, quit trying to pray those pretty flowery prayers, and we just got to get down to business. We just got to call out the names of the people in our life that we're worried about, that we're fearful for, that we got to call out to God about the things we have no control over. And they couldn't, the Israelites couldn't control this slavery thing. If they could control it, they wouldn't have been in slavery. There are things in your life and mine right now that are out of our control, and that's when we engage God in prayer, not a superficial way. Now, it's fine to pray. There's a couple of ways to pray. You can have your devotion time, and you can pray, "God, I really need you to help me with that report at work. And God, I really need you to help me with that knucklehead in the next cubicle. And God, I really need to get this client." And we pray those and we're like, "God, no, I'm going to go about my business. I can control a lot of this but by my effort." But then there's those moments where that praying is just not enough. And you're like, "It's out of control, Lord. If something doesn't change, it's going to be a train wreck. God, I need you. I'm calling out to you. Hannah cried out to God for a child. In 1 Samuel 1, verse 12, he said this. She said, or the Bible says this, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. This is the priest. He saw her. She was talking and nothing was coming out. She was moving her mouth. She was really, it was just guttural. It's just coming out of her, but she's in such an emotional state that no words are coming out. In verse 13, Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. Now listen, you start praying this kind of prayer, people are going to think you're weird. You start praying this kind of prayer, people are going to be like, they're a little bit fanatical. And you're like, yeah, I'm fanatical. God's the only one that can do anything. So Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. She wanted a child so desperately. In her times, if a woman did not become a mother, she was somehow considered a second-class citizen. And other people would look down on her, and she wanted a child so deeply that it was just coming from down deep inside of her. God, please show up. And her prayers were in such groaning and travailing that even a priest didn't recognize it as prayer. It was so heartfelt that it was deeper than something just passing. The psalmist called out to God in Psalm 142 and 6. He said this, listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. He's like, I got enemies, God, and they're after me. They're stronger than I am. I'm in desperate need. Listen to my cry. When this is the psalmist saying, I've got nobody else to turn to, Lord. I really need you to show up. Jesus even prayed in anguish. In Luke 22, he said this, the Bible says, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus even understood this thing and how important this was. It's those moments where nothing else is going to do it. It's what Paul was saying to the Ephesians chapter 6. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. He's like, look, you're going to need to pray in the Spirit. This is going to be some next level prayer. It can't depend on how smart you are. Listen, there's some of us in this room, we're not that smart, all right? If you are one of those people, you are my people. All right, I'm not going to impress you with my ability to pray. I'm not going to impress you with my eloquence and my $5 words. It's not going to happen. He said, though, sometimes you're going to need to pray in the Spirit. You're just going to have to let the Holy Spirit just pray through you. You're going to have to get serious about this and let God pray through you. Romans chapter 8 says this, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. There's that word again. He said there's moments where you are going to have to let God pray through you, and when you pray it, it's just going to be groaning. You're just going to be calling out to God. Now listen, we don't like to do this because it's a pride thing involved. We don't like to let ourselves go to this point. This is not something you're going to do at your desk at work. Please don't do this at your desk at work, all right? This is where you go in the prayer closet. You close the door to the bedroom. Wherever you find your private place and you call out to God. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. What are the areas of our weakness? Things that we can't control. So we say, God, I'm going to have to trust you. And I'm just going to call out to you, Lord. I'm just going to open up and let you do this. Groanings, which cannot be uttered, which is Romans 8, are most often the prayers that need to be prayed. to just unload it on God. He can handle it. See, he already knows how you feel, and he already knows your circumstances. He's just waiting on you. Why? Because the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. Not just sit back and act like you got it together and things are okay and you'll receive. Ask and you shall receive. There's this prayer that happens when we allow ourselves to be weak. The Bible says, in my weakness, he's made strong. When I recognize my weakness is when God shows up in strength, is when God shows up in amazing ways. Here's what happens. When we trust God to do the thing we can't control, we're saying, God, I'm going to give you all the credit for it. I'm going to testify about this because I know I didn't have anything to do with this. This had nothing to do with me. I was completely putting it in your court. I was completely trusting you, and I'm going to give you the credit and the glory. Sometimes we like to tell a story where we're the hero. We like to say, well, we had problems, and here's what we did. We were in debt, and we just worked hard and got ourselves out of debt. We were overweight, and we just worked hard and got ourselves in shape. And we like to tell those stories. It makes us look good. But this kind of prayer will never make you look good. It will never make me look good, but it will always make God look good. It will always bring glory to him when we're saying, Lord, I got nothing else to hold on to. The Bible seems, to me, unfamiliar. It seems unfamiliar with casual prayer. That the Bible points us to those moments of prayer where we're not praying from our mouth, we're praying from our heart. These groanings, that's not coming from your vocal cords, it's coming from your heart down deep within. It's that moment when we say, God, I can't do this. Travailing prayer. That kind of burdened, focused, pressing where we just want to move in and lean into God and allow God to work in our lives. Jesus gave us a great parable about persistent prayer. Luke chapter 11, take a look at this. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight. Now, I want you to think of which friend this is that you're going to at midnight. You got to pick this person very carefully, all right? If you don't want to go to jail, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Now, Jesus is painting a crazy picture. He says, you go to your friend and you say, at midnight, I need 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside, your friend inside, answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed and I can't get up and give you anything. That seems like the logical answer to me. What are you doing, man? It's midnight. Nobody needs to eat at midnight. But Jesus goes on. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. That's what Jesus said. Look, he might not get up because he loves you and he's your friend, but if you keep knocking, he'll get up and give you something just to get rid of you. Jesus is saying this is the picture of these guttural prayers. This is what it looks like, where you're just calling out to God. Now listen, God wants to do good things for you, but he's given us the point that to be persistent in your prayer. Don't just give up. Don't just pray one time and go, okay, well, I prayed. It's like the old couple that I heard about one time, and she said, you never tell me you love me. And he said, I told you the day we got married. If anything changes, I'll let you know. That wouldn't work at my house. Would it work at your house? And yet sometimes we come to God and we're like, God, I need you to do this thing. And we pray it one time and then we're like, well, I prayed about it. He's showing us the picture of persistence. To be contending in prayer, to be wrestling in prayer, to be leaning into God. I want to read you a story from the Bible. It's not going to be on the screen. It's Genesis chapter 32. So Jacob was scared. He was afraid he was about to die. And so Jacob was left alone, his family. He had sent his family on the way. And the Bible says, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. You eventually find out this man was God. A man wrestled with him till daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him. Now Jacob was so intent on receiving a blessing and some assurance from God that he held on to God so much that the Bible describes him as the man couldn't overpower him. He touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. So God kicked him in the hip. I don't know. He touched him. He did say, dislocated his hip. He hurt him. And the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. It's an unusual story, but get the point. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. It's persistence in prayer. He said, God, I can't let you go. There's too much on the line to let you leave. I need something from you right now. And the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. And he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. And the sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Now listen, there are moments in your life and mine where we have to get serious about prayer to the point that when we come out of prayer, we walk differently, that we act differently, that something in us has changed. When we have been in that prayer closet to the point that we are not the same people we were when we walked in there, that our lives, that our walk is different, that when we get serious about prayer, something about us changes, and other people say, I see it. They see it as something's wrong, and we know what it was. It was an encounter with God. When God works in our lives, he changes us, and he changes our circumstances. What is the thing right now that is on your mind so much that you can't focus on anything else except that? It's probably time to wrestle with God, to pray, to groan, to utter until God shows up and answers and works in our life. But listen, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's difficult. It's hard work to travail in prayer. Who's the person in your life right now that needs you to travail in prayer for them? They might not even know it. They might not even want you travailing in prayer. And this is what you say, I'm just going to talk to God, and if he does something that's on him, you can blame him. Don't get mad at me. I just talk to God about you. Who is it in your life that needs prayer right now? The great leaders of the great awakenings, the first great awakening, the second great awakening, these great revivals that happened. There's been many times when great revivals have happened in Europe and America and other places as well. Every one of these started with prayer. It didn't start with a great campaign. It didn't start with a great strategy. It didn't start with a media plan. None of that. It all started with prayer. Some of us are so intent on controlling our lives. See why I didn't want to preach this to you today? Some of us are so intent on controlling our lives, we're juggling. We don't have time for anything else. Because we think it's our plan, our abilities, our smarts, all of that. We can do it. No, you can't. That's the problem. And it only takes one ball to go the wrong direction, and then you just got a mess. Everything you thought you were juggling. Some of us are doing it to the point we're juggling chainsaws. I mean, it's just like life is dangerous the way we're doing it. It's only going to take one slip up. And God is saying, that's not the way I designed you to do this. I need you to trust me first. That's the first stop when we need help, is prayer. Colossians 4 says this, Epaphras, who is one of you. I love this. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always, listen, he is always wrestling in prayer for you. Whew. Who are you wrestling in prayer for? Who is it that you, not who is the person that you're praying those cool little, you know, quiet time prayers. And those are important. We grow in that. Lord, bless this person. Amen. No. Who are you wrestling in prayer for? If you don't have that person, we probably need to decide who those people are. Who we're going to wrestle for. Who are we willing to wrestle in prayer for? There's lots of reasons we don't pray. I want the band to come on up. There's lots of reasons we don't pray. I only give you this. If you're a note taker, go ahead and take out your phone, grab a picture of that, and then let's talk about these for just a minute so you don't have to write a whole bunch. Reason we might not pray, we feel our prayers are ineffective. We feel like our prayers are not effective. And so we back away. We could share testimonies around here, and we're going to do it soon, of people's lives who have been changed even recently through prayer. I'm talking about healing, like verified, miraculous healings where the doctor went, here was the problem and now it's gone and we didn't do anything to change it. It was just God that showed up. It was wrestling in prayer that brings that on. Don't believe the lie that your prayer is ineffective. The Bible is full of it, and there's 100,000 testimonies in this room right now of how God answers prayer. Don't fall into that trap. Sometimes we don't pray because we don't feel close to God. If you've been married for more than 5 minutes, you probably had moments where you didn't feel close to your spouse, but you were still married. All right? Feelings will lead you astray. Feelings will get you to the wrong place. We cannot follow feelings. I'm telling you, this prayer, this travailing, this groaning prayer is hard work. Not everybody will do it. We don't pray because we don't feel close to God. And then we get distracted. My goodness, there's a million distractions, isn't it? You sit down to read your Bible on your phone and you got 600 texts coming in. And then Instagram, there's an Instagram attack. And it just goes on and on. Distractions. And we love distractions nowadays because it means we don't have to think. We're so busy and we're so consumed. We love distractions. I'm gonna sit down and watch my show for a minute so I can just not even think. How many times I'm just gonna turn the TV on just to have some noise. It's a distraction. You know, 100 years ago, people didn't have that distraction. They couldn't say, let me just turn on some Netflix so I don't have to think. No, they had to deal with the problems in their face all the time. Distractions. We might not pray because we rely on our own strength. I think probably a lot of us fall into this one. We just don't pray because we think we're strong enough and we'll do the right stuff and it'll all work out and it's probably not going to work. And then we feel that we're not important enough to God. Why would I call out to God? Why would I call out to God? You ever seen somebody who was dating someone else and they just and one person wants to break up and the other one just comes and goes, please, 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 let's just stay together, please, please, please. And you're like, oh man, get up. It's an ugly look. When the other person is not reciprocating, it's ugly. Some of us are afraid that we're going to go to God and we're going to lay out our heart and God's going to go, no, I'm sorry, I can't commit to you like that right now. And so God will never say that to you. God will never do that to you. You are good enough. You are important enough for him to listen to. Sometimes we don't pray because we're bored. We're bored. And I'll tell you this, the only way to get through the boredom is to continue in prayer. It takes a little bit of time. When you were learning to ride a bike, you probably had to fall off a few times. Your family didn't go, well, it looks like you're not going to be a bike rider. They didn't say that to you. They were like, get up. Let's get some Band-Aids and let's get you back on the road. Listen, sometimes you got to push through. And sometimes we don't pray simply because we don't care enough to push through. We just don't care enough. Here's what the Bible says. My house will be known as a house of prayer. A house of prayer. It didn't say my house is going to be known as a house of good preaching. It didn't say it. Thank goodness he didn't say that. He said, my house is going to be known as a house of prayer. Can I ask this question? Is your house known as a house of prayer? Is my house known as a house of prayer? Is God the first place we run to? Or do we have a list of things we do before we run to God? Listen, there's a couple of people in my life that if I'm in a truly precarious situation and I need prayer, I'm gonna reach out to these people. One of them is my wife. I just go, you know what? I need you to pray. The other day we were talking about something and she said, well, let's just pray about it right now. I promise you that day, the very thing she prayed for happened. And I was like, all right, I need you to pray a little bit more and start doing this a little more. I mean, come on. I have people in my life that I just trust their prayers. Here's what I know. I know that they know how to wrestle in prayer. Not just pray the 20-second prayer, but wrestle in prayer. And when they get a hold of God, you know God is going to work, just like he did for Jacob. I just want to encourage you. This kind of prayer doesn't happen on a Sunday morning, all right? This kind of prayer is going to have to happen on your time, on my time, when we get serious about it. God works and God shows up and God answers. One of the very first scriptures we read said that God saw the groanings of the Israelites when they were in slavery. Now, the rest of the story is they were set free from slavery, not because they figured it out, they worked together, they got a plan. No, no, no. God sent a series of miracles to get them out of slavery, starting with a burning bush and a shepherd on the backside of a desert. And then there was red seas that were parted and plagues that came and manna coming from heaven. And the same God who answered those prayers and saw those groanings way back there is still listening to prayers and groanings and wrestlings today. He wants to answer us. He wants to answer us, but we've got to engage him. I wasn't going to say this, but here we go, all right? This American culturized Christianity is garbage. It will not work anymore. Either we believe the book and we trust God in prayer, or we're just a club that shows up on Sunday morning. Either we're engaging God in his power and his presence, or we're just wasting time. God wants more from us. A few weeks ago, we read the scripture that says God wants us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. This surface Christianity is not going to work for your family and mine. It's going to take us travailing in prayer. And you say, I've never done it. Everybody started somewhere. Let's forget the excuses and let's lean into God. Let's let him guide us and let's fast and let's pray and let's see what God does. Let's see the miracles that God does. Let's trust him to change our hearts. But it's going to start with us wrestling and trusting him to the point that we say, God, I have nothing to offer you. I have nothing. God, I don't possess one thing that you need. I don't have an ability that you didn't give me. I don't have any money that didn't come from you. I don't have any leadership skills that didn't start with you. God, everything came from you. So I don't have anything to offer you. Quit trying to earn it. And let's travail for a minute. Let's let God speak to us. Let's let God do something tremendous in our lives. Let's stop living a surface level Christian life. And let's go deeper. Let's see what God does when we decide we're going to open the book. We're going to find out what God said to us. We're going to pray. We're going to get alone, and we're going to pray the ugly face prayers, and we're going to trust God for our family and our friends, and we're going to trust God for miracles, and we're going to trust him to save the people that we love. What if we trusted him like this? What if we decided today is the day that moving forward, things are going to be different? John Wesley, one of the great revivalists of centuries gone by, he said this, and we're going to close. He said, give me 100 men who fear God and nothing else and hate sin and nothing else, and I'll change the world. Give me 100 men who fear God and nothing else and hate sin and nothing else, and I'll change the world. What if our goal was to say, I'm going to fear nothing but God, and I'm going to hate nothing and no one but sin, and I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to trust God with my all. Fellas, let me talk to you for just a minute. Guys, we usually drag our feet when it comes to spiritual leadership. Man, you're getting it. I don't know where all this came from. Here we go. It is what it is. Men, we have a terrible habit of dragging our feet when it comes to spiritual things. Our families need us to stand up. Not and tell them what to do. To stand up and just be an example of a man who travails in prayer. Of a man who trusts God's word. Of a man who has principles and lives by those principles and does the things that God's calling him to do. God is calling us deeper, fellas. God is asking more of us. I love the Dallas Cowboys, but who cares? Come on. Listen, in 100 years, none of us are going to be here. But our legacy will continue on. The people we influence, the prayer we prayed, the prayers we prayed, the Bible says that he stores up our prayers in heaven. Listen, God listens when you call out for your family. God listens. Men, I'm asking you, let's step it up. We got some great men around here. This is not a, I'm not chiding anybody. This is not a whipping post. But imagine what God would do with a bunch of people who said, I fear God and nothing else. I don't feel cancer. I don't fear cancer because I know the God that can heal it. I don't fear people because I know the God who created them. I'm going to be a man. I'm going to be a woman of God. I'm just going to follow him with abandon. What if the most important thing in our lives was to honor God every single day? Not the most important was, let me go accomplish something. If the top of the list every day was, let me God, the one thing I want to do is to honor you. And here's the beautiful part of this. When you honor God, you'll take care of every responsibility you have. But it starts by saying, Lord, I need you. I need you. What if we just got alone, just travailed in prayer, just groaned in prayer like the Hebrews and like Hannah who wanted a baby, like Jesus before he's going to be crucified the next day, and like Epaphras who wrestled in prayer for the people that he loved. What if that became us as families, as a church? What if we moved ahead in that? I want you to stand with me. I want you to, if you're comfortable doing this, just grab somebody's hand right now. If you know them, you're comfortable with them. Who are you wrestling for? Who are you travailing for? Who are you groaning in prayer for? That person needs you. God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you right now for what you're doing. We thank you, God, for your blessings on us. Lord, we know you're not angry with us. We know, but God, you're taking us to another level as individuals, as a church. And I just pray this morning, God, that you would help us to learn to wrestle in prayer. Let go of our pride and our arrogance and our self-sustaining ways. Help us to let go of all that, God, and just wrestle in prayer and just groan out and pray in the Spirit and allow you to do your work in us. God, we just honor you and we thank you for what you've already done, but God, we thank you for what's coming, and Lord, we just want to put you first in all of this, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing this song together, can we?
For a good, good Father, it's who you are.
Love you, Jesus.
It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father.
To be received this morning as if God is angry, because I don't believe he is. I believe God's hand of approval has been on our church, and there's so many great things, and I'm so thankful. But I believe God's calling us to something higher. I believe God's calling us for a big next step. Listen, I'm in a spot where we could do this all afternoon, but I'm going to say one more thing and we're going to call it. Somebody asked me just the other day, "What do you remember the first sermon you preached when you first moved to Grace Point?" And I can't forget it. It was very simple. It was, "God, do something so great that no man can take credit for it." That's what I want. I think we're seeing some of those things happening. I don't think we can take credit for some of the amazing stuff that's going on around here. But I believe God wants to use us in even greater ways and take us to the next level. So if I can just warn you, it might get a little uncomfortable around here. All right. I think God's taking us somewhere. God's doing something. I think we're going to look back on this morning and we're going to go, "That was the day. That was the day. I can't explain it, but that was the day where something started, where God showed up, and we allowed God to do what he wanted to do." Father, I just thank you this morning. I thank you for what you have planned. Lord, all I'm asking is that you help us, God, to be obedient. Help us to listen and obey and allow you to do your work. Help us to cooperate with what you desire. And we give you praise right now, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise. Amen. 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 All right. We're going to end with this. Who are you wrestling for this week? Who are you wrestling for in prayer this week? Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.